Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the Memorial Day Tuesday happy hour. I'm glad we survived the big holiday weekend. I always get a little nervous. Am I going to make it? Well, I made it. So here we are, man, back for hour two, back doing live radio. Back not being able to hear Dominic.
We're good. It was a beautiful weekend. All right, here we go.
Beautiful.
It was a beautiful. We got some new tech going on. Do I sound even sexier than normal? Is it glorious? Yes. Is that even possible? Okay.
It seems implausible.
But you're right.
Theoretically possible, Dom.
I mean, anything's possible, Gertie.
Dom, do you see there was some breaking news out of the U.S. Supreme Court today? Did you catch that? I'm looking for the article. Here it is. I've seen it bumping around the interwebs. Supreme Court puts Texas social media law on hold while the legal battle continues. And I would ask you in the audience, why did they put this Texas law on hold, but allow the 6-week abortion ban to go forward?
That's a great question, Curdy.
You know, sort of just some of the things I wonder aloud during the happy hour. 844-967-2789. You can be a part. Dominic, I'm going to read briefly. The Supreme Court on Tuesday put on hold a Texas law that bars social media companies from removing posts based on a user's political ideology, while a legal battle over whether some measures violate the First Amendment, you know, continue in a lower court. So, a Texas law bars, you know, Facebook and Instagram, although that's the same company, isn't it?
Maybe yeah, it's all Meta.
Twitter.
Yep.
Bars them from removing posts based on the user's political ideology. But of course, everyone's got some political ideology, and if you just put up some dumbassery and they take it down, well, that's because I'm a conservative, right? It's always the conservatives whining. The vote was 5-4. Justice Samuel Alito Jr., joined by Justices Thomas and Gorsuch, said he would have allowed the law to go into effect. Well, Justice Elena Kagan would have let a decision from the lower court stand for now, but did not detail her reasoning. And two Washington-based groups representing Google, Facebook, and other tech giants filed the emergency request with the court on May 13th. The Texas law took effect after a divided panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit lifted a district court injunction that had barred it. So district court bars it. You go to the conservative Fifth. You get a stay. So what, the law was going to go into effect, and now the U.S. Supreme Court has said, slow down. The appeals court order, which did not specify its legal reasoning, shocked the industry, which was largely successful in battling back Republican state leaders' efforts to regulate social media companies' content moderation policies. But hey, man, you haven't met Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis. Texas and Florida are two states with such laws, which they said were necessary to combat the tech industry's squelching of conservative viewpoints. Why is it always conservative viewpoints?
Yeah, because apparently they're down for authoritarianism, fascism, insurrection, you know, maybe a little Nazism and some, you know, prejudicial activity. I mean, you know, if that's what defines their political viewpoint, then I guess you could say that, yes, they are, in fact, infringing upon their political viewpoint.
Well, a little bit more, Dom, but They must have caught a D.C. jury here.
Crudy on Monday, a unanimous panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit said that much of Florida's law violated the First Amendment, ruling that social media companies' efforts to curate the content of their platforms was speech that the government could not control. In a detailed
67- They don't understand the whole concept of the First Amendment, do they?
Not really. In a detailed 67-page opinion, the three judges, all appointees of Republican presidents, unanimously rejected many of the legal arguments that conservative states have been using to justify laws governing the moderation policies of major tech companies after years of accusing tech companies of bias against their viewpoints. The tech companies similarly have called the Texas law an unprecedented assault on the editorial discretion of private websites, think Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Twitter, Vimeo, and YouTube, that would fundamentally transform their business models and services, according to the Supreme Court application filed by two organizations, NetChoice and the Computer and Communications Industry Association. The organizers hired a former U.S. Solicitor General and two former Texas Solicitors General to take the case to the Supreme Court.
So you would have to describe this as a well-funded effort.
Yeah, you think Facebook, Google think they got the money? The petition cited serious First Amendment problems with these novel state efforts to regulate a global phenomenon that should be fully litigated before the Texas law goes into effect. In their filing to the Supreme Court, NetChoice and CCIA argue that the law is unconstitutional and risks causing irreparable harm to the internet and businesses. Quote, while the judiciary cautiously reviews these momentous issues, platforms should not be compelled by government to disseminate the vilest speech imaginable, such as white supremacist manifestos, Nazi screeds, Russian state propaganda, Holocaust denial, and terrorist organization recruitment, the petition said. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton noted that the Supreme Court said social media sites are gatekeepers of a digital modern public square. He said that state law is focused on businesses' conduct and does not violate the First Amendment, which protects private companies from government regulation of speech.
Ken Paxton is under personal indictment. I mean, that should be a bigger deal. The Attorney General of the state of Texas has been under federal corruption indictment for like half a decade.
Because they are the 21st century descendants of telegraph and telephone companies, the businesses should be treated as common carriers, which are subject to government regulation because of the essential nature of the services they offer, Paxton said. Tech companies have aggressively lobbied against the Texas law and similar legislation in other states, and they were initially successful in their challenge to the Texas law as a federal district judge blocked its implementation. The tech industry has warned that the Texas law opens companies up to new legal threats that could chill their efforts to remove objectionable content, including terrorism and violence, such as the recent video circulating on social media of the Buffalo shooting. Meanwhile, Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Republicans who crafted the law have argued that it will prevent conservative viewpoints from being banned on social media. The Supreme Court's response is being closely watched by policymakers who are eager to regulate social media, but whose proposals have collided with free speech protections afforded by the First Amendment. You know, a lot of these Republicans, they have policies that collide with, you know, constitutional protections. It's kind of the way they are.
The First Amendment, not a big one for them. That Second Amendment. And they only care about their own right to free speech, right?
Yeah.
That's the only rights they care about.
And if I want to put a Nazi screed on my Facebook page, why can't I put a Nazi screed on my Facebook page? If Facebook, if you take that down, you are violating my First Amendment right. But again, as they point out, that's not exactly how the First Amendment right works.
Well, and these are private companies, as anyone with a brain could point out. And, you know, Ken Paxton's argument that, you know, they're so popular, they become like your utilities. Well, it's not the same as MG&E. I've got Madison Gas and Electric. They're the only provider, and I got to have gas and electric. But I don't got to have Facebook. I mean, you don't. I know some of you think you do. You're addicted, but you don't have to have Facebook. It's not a freaking utility, and the government should not take it over. And I love how these Republicans always want to control the mechanisms, almost communist style, Dom, in some twisted way, totalitarian style.
Well, I mean,
certainly not American style of free
government
enterprise.
Republicans are wanting what? This kind of regulation and takeover, essentially, of tech companies by the government. I mean, this isn't doesn't that kind of go against what, you know, the Republicans say they are all about in small government?
Well, let me play devil's advocate for just a moment. The New York Post was reporting widely, or at least trying to widely disseminate the information about Hunter Biden's emails on the, what, the laptop from hell, right? Left at a Delaware shop recklessly. The guy's got all kinds of crazy stuff on his laptop. Just leaves it at the repair shop. And since he never comes back, that guy just happens to take control of it and pass it on to Rudy. And, you know, we all doubted. We were all suspicious, including the big tech companies. And they stifled the story before the election, specifically the Hunter Biden allegations. And near as I can tell, the Washington Post and a lot of others now have done the more comprehensive journalism and verified the sources and said, yeah, this story was probably true. And as such, Dom, this sort of circumstance is the very stuff that makes the case for these Republicans, because they feel like it's disparate treatment. And in some weird way, it kind of is.
Well, I would absolutely disagree. Again, maybe it was the wrong call, but they have the stuffed. They might be around the wrong call, but they got the right to make that call. And if it was still available out there, it's not like it was banned on the internet. It was just not up for Twitter or Facebook, and they put in their processes to strike these things down.
But I mean, setting aside our my Democratic tendencies, this is still the son of one of their two major party candidates before his presidential election. That's information that, you know, if everything else is spread widely, well, don't the Republicans have some point of view to make, some fair claim to make that their, you know, free speech wasn't stifled by the
government? Come on, see,
it was stifled by big tech.
No, they don't. And as much as that information, look, yes, proper reporting of information should always be out there. But if their call is, say, hey, we think this might be bunk right before an election, and we don't want to get involved and go down that road, that's their decision to make. If you don't like it, start your own service. You don't own Facebook. You don't own Twitter, people. You don't own the internet. This is not a utility, or is it? Because if it is, then it should damn well be available at the same speeds for everybody in this country at every spot.
Oh, you would like net neutrality back? Remember we spoke to the former FCC director, Ajit Pai, about that very same issue, and I said, as a little guy who owns a radio station, I need the interwebs. I need net neutrality. And he said, we'll just get comments for the people, and then we'll screw you. Come back, more Devil's Advocates, less screwing, because it's a Tuesday after Memorial Day, 844-967-2789.
I say that you're a terrible reporter.
So, dude, not the preferred nomenclature.
If you want, we can leave the press, or we can have the press leave immediately. I'll leave that up to Scott Walker.
Freedom!
The Devil's Advocate. Because freedom!
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the party line at 844-967-2789.
I'd like to update you on news from Wanker, the former gubernator of the great state of Wisconsin. He's got a little op-ed piece at the Washington Examiner today.
Great.
I had to go Googling for this one. Here's the headline. I'd like to share just a bit. Words of wisdom, sage wisdom from this man.
I highly doubt it.
No Taylor Swift, campus bias is what's cringe. That is the headline. Equality, not elitism. And a little red subheadline. By Scott Wanker. Swift was the commencement speaker at New York University this year. She told graduates to learn to live alongside cringe. No matter how hard you try to avoid being cringe, you'll look back on your life and cringe retrospectively. Cringe is unavoidable over a lifetime. Even the term cringe might someday be deemed cringe. These are the words of wisdom, air quotes, from yet another liberal activist on a college campus. In contrast, Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis, and I guarantee Scott Walker doesn't know how to pronounce it either, but he copied it here, addressed graduates at Boston University. He invoked his own graduation from college in 1990, reminiscing about a speech from Chancellor of West Germany, Helmut Kohl. "This is a time of joy, pride, and gratitude," Chancellor Kohl told us. "Freedom and unity is becoming reality. The dream of a free, peaceful, and just world will materialize, provided that we do not relax our common efforts." He, but also we in the audience, had every right to be enthusiastic. "Just 8 months before my graduation, the Berlin Wall, the concrete symbol of the divide between freedom and democracy on the one side and repression and totalitarianism on the other, had come crashing down." Yeah, but Trump rebuilt the wall, right? I still remember getting goosebumps watching the event unfold on television. Now, Walker writes, he warned the graduates that many people thought democracy was easy, but it requires vigilance. Yeah, because there's always a bastard like Scott Walker trying to take it away. Just a little bit more. Walker writes, "In my humble opinion, Mitskoski's message seems much more profound than learn to live alongside cringe. Mitskoski's was one of just three conservatives who spoke to graduates on campus, according to a survey conducted by my group," mine being, you know, Wanker's group, the Young Nazi Foundation. "Of the top 100 universities is ranked by U.S. News and World Report. The only other conservatives on this year's list are Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin, who spoke at Virginia Tech, and Tim Tebow." Don't get Tebowed, Dan.
Never get Tebowed.
"The iconic quarterback who won the Heisman and led the Florida Gators to a national championship."
Iconic?
He's iconic-ish. Thank God that Tebow story wasn't true about him. Mitsotakis, yeah, the Greek guy. I'm going to pronounce it every time differently. Had a personal connection to Boston College, as his wife graduated there in 89 and their son in 2020. Not one of the top 100 universities had a conservative commencement speaker. How dare they? And YAF, that's, again, the Wankers group, has conducted an annual commencement speaker survey for 30 years. During that time, a disproportionate number of speakers over at our nation's top colleges and universities have been liberal ideologues, big donors to liberal causes, and members of the woke media. Sadly, this trend continued in 2022.
Crudy.
So anyways,
I got a little more on here. Let's just wrap this up here. A little
no
more
liberal,
here.
You know,
liberal bias. No, here's what
where,
he says.
Where are you going to find this? I mean, remember the DNC, or pardon me, the RNC in Cleveland?
Yes.
We're waiting for the stars. They had Chachi. They had Scott Baio and like Anthony Sabato Jr., man.
Come on,
that was
man.
Their
they also had Dog the Bounty Hunter. We walked in with the guy, right?
To the inauguration, technically.
Oh, that was okay, right. Different party.
The RNC, I think the brightest light there was Don King wearing a glittered rhinestone jean jacket.
It was Triumph the Insult
Wonder
comic
dog.
Yep. That was the biggest draw at the Cleveland party, yeah.
Well, he had perhaps the finest interview of Don King I've ever observed in person.
Yeah, we don't need to hear any more from Walker. I guess he's just really mad that apparently, and you have to question the math since it is Scott Walker. You know, this is the same guy that said he fixed a $3.6 billion budget deficit. Never did. This is the same guy that thought Foxconn would be a great idea for Wisconsin. Never was. It's hard to really believe anything that comes out of his mouth. But I would just suggest that perhaps, you know, the environment is like that because more people think like those, what do you call them? Progressive, woke, liberal ideologues and big donors. I mean, maybe there's just more people that think that, you know, kids shouldn't have access to, you know, AR-15s to murder children.
Come on, man. Scott Wanker was an A-plus NRA, highly decorated, $4.5 million.
There's a theme to the conservatives' bitch, and the math is that they are always in the minority. They are almost always in the minority. You grab any topic and you wonder
victims.
Why.
They're snowflakes. They're little bitches.
Well, I mean.
Not to use harsh language.
I mean, but, you know, most people want legal weed. Most people want, you know, a better health care, right? Most people can want clean water.
Universal background checks, 89%.
Right. We can go down that list. And if the top, 10 issues that, are facing America, most of the people think one way and the Republicans want to continue a forced by minority rule. You shouldn't be surprised that there are less and less of you in everywhere you go.
That's a false premise, Dom. We all know it was a rigged election.
Everything's rigged, yeah.
Trump's still the president, and Walker's still the governor.
Yeah.
If it hadn't been for, legalized marijuana referendums on the ballot, that bad governance, and that wandering eye and the bad hair and the... Well, he's really just a despicable human being. But he writes a fine op-ed.
No, not really.
Come back with us. Hardly cringeworthy at all. More Devil's Advocate.
Hey! Scott Walker.
Everything you always wanted in a governor. And less.
I used to run track.
What would you say you do here?
Having a great time.
.com.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
United takes the time. About to check outside the games.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Happier Happy Hour. We're rolling through it. Your calls, they're always appreciated. They're welcomed here at 844-967-2789. But Dom, before we get to the phones, I want to tell you about some meat being grown in a peach tree dish.
A peach tree dish? I love peach cobbler.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, we've talked about her a few times on the big show here, Dom. Well, she'd like to see some social media censorship going on because she's gone viral, I tell you, Dom, with her little statement. Apparently, she doesn't like the Bill Gates burgers. And one other note before we played for the audience, she is a U.S. congressperson. She is not a scientist. Please play the Marjorie Taylor Greene making you hungry for what's for dinner.
You have to accept the fact that the government totally wants to provide surveillance on every part of your life. They want to know when you're eating. They want to know if you're eating a cheeseburger, which is very bad because Bill Gates wants you to eat his fake meat that grows in a peach tree dish. So you'll probably get a little zap inside your body and that say, no, don't eat a real cheeseburger. You need to eat the fake burger, the fake meat from Bill Gates. They probably also want to know when you go to the bathroom and if your bowel movements are on time or consistent. I mean, what else do these people want to know?
Yes. Are your bowel movements on time and consistent, Marjorie?
I mean,
inquiring minds want to know. And did
her
you
bowel
eat
movements
the
come out of her
last
mouth,
night?
As evidenced by that? I really, the peach tree dish? And this is how
little
terrible.
Misspeak.
We misspeak. I get it. But she's from Georgia. She probably thinks there's a peach tree dish down there. But I mean, this is an elected official, right? This is somebody who has staff around her. Perhaps someone who could look.
They don't
at,
like to admit it either.
She was in this clip. She's has like her own little podcast deal, right? And she's reading from notes. So she's not doing this exactly off the cuff. I mean, perhaps some of her, a little snarky Bill Gates. And what is it? I mean, the government wanting to surveil you and Bill Gates? I mean, when did Bill Gates get elected to anything? So what are you talking about?
They've been watching her Gmail.
Microwaves, turning to cameras, etc.
It's there's so many things wrong with it. It's not just the total burn on a petri dish or a
peach tree dish.
Wait, what was it again?
Peach tree dish.
Which is different
meat
than
that
a
grows in a peach tree dish.
Yes, a petri dish, however, is a shallow, circular, transparent dish with a flat lid used for the culture of microorganisms.
Didn't we used to have a Congressman Tom Peachtree?
I think we did here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Doesn't his daughter work at the Washington Post?
So,
Alexandria
yes,
Peachtree or something there sort of like that.
Sounds pretty close. So,
you know,
so
as not a guy who's not great with names,
I believe you. But it's not only the peach tree versus petri dish, an obvious misspeak / ignorant speech. It's that her team around her was like, yeah, that's a great rant. Let's just put that out there for the world to see. Let alone, as mentioned, you know, Bill Gates is not the government. And I'm not sure even if Bill Gates was making meat in a petri dish, how that would make a low zap inside of you. Also crazy. What the hell? Now, perhaps she's just being snarky, funny, trying to troll everybody. But this is, she continues to be one of the worst congresspeople I've ever had the displeasure of listening to.
I don't believe in evolution. I believe in God.
Well, I was going to say, you haven't met Glenn Grothman? Or Grothman, as the former used to call him, and he started calling himself Grothman after, if it's good enough for Trump, it's good enough for Glenn.
Listen, maybe in a different way, but she just continues. And is this still out there? I mean, this was obviously viewed over a million times, according to...
That was just overnight. This just happened yesterday, my understanding. This was... a little Memorial Day posted. Went a little viral.
Oh, my God. Get a little zap inside your body. A little zap inside your body from the petri dish meat from Bill Gates, the government who's trying to surveil your bowel movements.
If you only get the little zap inside your body if you don't eat the petri dish meat from Bill Gates. You know, because you're not doing it right. You get a little zap, a little internal zap.
Embarrassing. I mean, for the country. I mean, she actually votes on things that matter. You know, it's not just represents her constituents. To hell with her constituents. I mean,
the good
voting
news
on things that matter.
A, I don't think she votes on much that matters. And B, she doesn't even have any committee assignments. She's not doing a lot of legislating up there. She's not writing any legislative
pieces.
That's
why she's got time for the Marjorie Three-Toed Green podcast.
Hey, Dom, you know who's had a little time, a little extra time this week, and apparently not painting his house? Speaker Robin Voss.
Oh, the Assembly Speaker from Wisconsin. Oh, I'm sure he came up with some solution for something important.
Well, trying to get reelected. Apparently, he's feeling the pressure because he went knocking doors this week.
No.
Yes, let me tell you a little bit about it. 844-96-PARTY. Voss doing doors faces challenger. Let me read a little bit from the piece here at the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said he's spending 20 or more hours a week doing doors, listening to Racine County residents in the 63rd Assembly District he's represented since 05, the longest serving Assembly Speaker in Wisconsin history, and the Republican who led the fight for his party's conservative priorities for the last 10 years. Voss is focusing on retail politics because he faces an August 9th primary challenge from first-time challenger Adam Steen. What Steen called Voss? A traitor treasonous traitor.
Treasonous traitor. Treasonous bastard. Oh, wait, that's me.
Voss got 58% of the vote in 2020 election over a Democrat, but he now faces a challenge from the right by Steen. And Glenn Grothman, the aforementioned, he actually knocked off an incumbent, knocked off Senate Majority Leader Mary Panzer, said she wasn't conservative enough for her district. And Voss was first elected to the Assembly that year, that being 2004. So the lessons of Panzer's loss have not been lost on him. He has worked his district hard. Oh, he's working it, Dom. He's working
it, baby.
I don't have a message.
But Racine area voters also ousted a Senate Majority Leader, Democrat Joe Stroll, in the general in 1990. And although Voss said his constituents most often worry about high prices and inflation, Joe Biden problems, right? Some also worry about the election integrity. Yeah, of course they do. The grassroots, they're worried about election integrity, Dom. Those questions could include why a Dane County judge held Voss in contempt of court in March for not releasing records from former Supreme Court Justice corrupted Michael Gableman's investigation of the 2020 election, and why the same judge a few weeks ago threatened to fine Voss over the same dispute. But they're not the kind of questions likely to be raised by Steen. The first statement of his campaign website declares why he's running. Donald Trump is the best thing to happen to the United States since the Declaration of Independence in 1776.
Oh, my God.
And although Voss hired Gableman, corrupted, to investigate how the 2020 presidential election was conducted in Wisconsin, and Voss's lawyers have defended Gableman's probe in lawsuits, that has not satisfied Trump loyalists like Steen. At a Capitol rally earlier this year, Steen called Voss a treasonous traitor for failing to try and overturn the November 2020 election that Steen insists fraudulently elected Democrat Joe Biden president. In a WSI interview last week, Voss said he talks to Trump on a fairly regular basis. Still?
I don't know if you want to be admitting that in this litigious world that Trump finds himself in, but yeah, let us know when those times were, please.
And according to Voss, Trump overwhelmingly has been good for the Republican Party.
No, I just got to, I mean, based on what criteria, right? They lost the everything. As a Republican Party, they lost. They lost the House. They lost the Senate. They lost the executive branch. We lost a million people due to COVID, and Trump could have been more adamant. He could have been truthful with us. I mean, how exact in fundraising, right? Got to be fundraising.
Well,
I mean,
Trump doesn't really share his fundraising.
So then exactly how has Trump been overwhelmingly good for the Republican Party?
Well, the big lie has got the base very, very engaged. So as long as they can hold up the house of cards made of the fiction and predicated on the, you know, the sand underneath not giving way sometime between now and Election Day, well, they're just going to build the engagement of the base on the big lie, Dom. And hope for the best.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Urban Milwaukee goes on to say, speaking of that grassroots crudy, Voss was booed at the state Republican Party convention.
Boo that man.
For
Boo.
Telling party loyalists, we have no ability to decertify the election and go back and nullify it. We do not. We need to focus on going forward.
Boo.
GOP party chair Paul Farrell asked the convention delegates to be respectful. Let him talk. Voss then said Wisconsin's Republican Party is not the cancel culture, which insists there is only one legitimate point of view. Yeah, there's
try, I mean, all the points of view.
I mean, try them all. There's a Nazi. There's a Nazi point of view, and there's the anti-Nazi point of view, right? Those are two separate points of view. There's a fascist point of view, for example, and there's the anti-fascist, or just call them Antifa, point of view. So, I mean,
were
you're
they
right.
The ones that stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th?
No, those were the fascists that did that. Voss expanded.
So
the
hard to tell them apart.
You know, with all the beards and the tattoos. I mean, Trump was apparently shocked that these people weren't all wearing, you know, red ties and blue suits like him.
Has he ever been to a Trump rally?
maybe not in the back. Voss expanded the 2020 presidential vote on the 2020 presidential vote in the interview. Once somebody is sworn into office, you cannot go back unless there is, quote, overwhelming evidence of fraud. I do not believe that voting machines chained ballots in Wisconsin, Voss added. But Voss said serious problems occurred before that presidential vote. Billionaires gave local governments millions of dollars to conduct elections in a certain way. Illegal ballot harvesting occurred and questionable votes were cast in nursing homes.
He doesn't have any objection to the billionaires and Dick and Mrs. Uline and the widow Hendricks given millions of dollars to get the right Republican candidates elected?
That's totally fine. That's totally fine. Yeah, this is regarding the election thing, because they thought, if you can suppress the vote, like, you know, making people go to polls in the middle of a pandemic, the more you could do that, the better chances.
Vote.
Well, yeah, he was.
You are incredibly safe to go out.
Yes, in full PPE here. Yeah. Uh-huh.
We have seen a small increase in deaths, which is a good thing.
Voss said the Republican-sponsored bills to fix those problems were vetoed by Evers, who Voss called a disaster. People have the right to know that the election was secure at the end of the day and that everybody has a chance to cast their ballot legally, fairly, and on time. And one time, he said, not on time, one time, according to the writing here at Urban Milwaukee. In fundraising appeals, Evers says Republicans want to rig future elections. Quote, whoever my GOP opponent is has shown that they want to destroy everything from our voting rights to a woman's right to choose. Without me as governor, the GOP has already made it clear they would overturn the will of the people during the next presidential election to score points with Donald Trump.
Dominic Voss also points out how long it's been since he met with Tony Evers, shook his hand.
How long?
a year and a half.
He talks to Trump all the time, though.
I mean, he was only elected like a year and a half ago. So he really hasn't talked to what, since Trump lost, if you believe Voss's own timeline.
Interesting timeline.
It's almost like he's been in denial or something. Not just a river anymore. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, your phone calls, but only if you're the good CJ at 844-967-2789.
On the internet, you can find all sorts of people saying different things.
They want to take away your hamburgers.
Hey, where's the meat?
Meat that grows in a peach tree dish.
Just sit back, close your eyes, and...
Was that pie I smell?
Peach tree dish.
I don't have a message.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, we will get to the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I've got one other quick update on Boss Robin Voss. Running for re-election, out knocking doors. Racine County, look for him at a, you know, darkening your doorstep, perhaps. But Dom... Wisconsin's top legislative Republican said Thursday, this is last Thursday, according to the Associated Press, that he's open to the idea of arming teachers following the latest school shooting in Texas. Of course he is. He being Robin Voss, dismissed as disingenuous an offer from Democratic Governor Tony Evers to find common ground. Let's not forget, we just reported Robin Voss hadn't even shook the man's hand since the last freaking election, right? Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told the Associated Press that finding ways to better protect schools, including with additional police, armed security guards, and armed teachers, should be on the table. You know, everything should be on the table, including an AR-15, apparently, Dom. It's not, I quote Robin Voss, it's not just the teachers. It's making sure the people who are inside the school have the ability to defend themselves. But the idea that we're going to take a heinous act like this and find some kind of logical way to prevent it 100% of the time, I just don't see that occurring. So let's not do anything. Evers, when asked about Voss's proposal at a news conference on another topic, said he didn't think teachers would support it and said it would make schools even more dangerous. Evers, if you're unaware, Dom, is the former teacher and school district superintendent and, oh yeah, state superintendent. Evers is quoted as saying, "There are better ways. I'd like to think about finding ways to keep guns away from people who are going to cause these types of problems." Democratic Attorney General Josh Call dismissed the proposal as a really wacky and frankly dangerous idea. We can't be turning our schools into war zones. It's not going to make them safer. In fact, it would make them more dangerous. One more. Democratic State Rep. Deb Andranka of Whitefish Bay, your neck of the woods, Dom.
Yep, that's my rep.
Andranka tweeted her opposition to the idea. "I'm a licensed teacher and a gun owner with my concealed carry permit. This is a terrible idea."
Oh,
better ideas, better candidates, Dom.
Curdy, speaking of better candidates, another candidate, Republican gubernatorial candidate Kevin Nicholson, was also open to the idea. His spokeswoman said Nicholson backs having, quote, armed and professionally trained professionals guarding schools whenever possible, but allowing some teachers who are trained and licensed to carry in order to protect our students may also be warranted. The other three Republican candidates for governor, Clayfish, Michaels, and Ramjam, did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Earlier this year, Evers vetoed Republican bills that would have allowed holders of concealed carry permits to have firearms and vehicles on school grounds and in churches located on the grounds of a private school. He vetoed the measure that would have allowed anyone with a concealed carry license in any state to be armed in Wisconsin. Currently, only people with licenses from states that conduct background checks on applicants can carry concealed guns in Wisconsin.
Well, wait for the U.S. Supreme Court. They're about to change that, Dom. The U.S. Supreme Court's going to make it easier to own a gun. And there are questions about, you know, should you have concealed carry, reciprocity? Wherever you're from, federalism be damned. We're going to overrule.
What about states' rights?
Law.
Well,
states'
federalism
rights. Federalism be damned. We're going to throw it out because it's not convenient with our newest ideology, according to the conservative base of the Supreme Court. So look for it to be harder to ban guns. You know, see liberal cities, liberal states, and easier to carry guns, probably constitutional carry, that currently has the support of 19% of Wisconsinites. 19, not 90. 90% of people want background checks universally. 19% want constitutional carry, which would be effectively reciprocity with all other concealed carry laws. Because some states like Texas, you can already do that, man. And in fact, Texas has encouraged teachers to come to school armed. They had this special program since 2013, since Sandy Hook. Guess what? Statewide, you got like 300 teachers that enrolled from 62 districts. And I'm not great at doing math on the radio, but that is a huge state. They got more than 300 districts.
So the very same proposal that here in Wisconsin they're down for, they have in Texas, and that did not stop this monster from murdering 19 children and two teachers, right?
No,
the good guy with the gun that sat outside for over an hour, that did not stop.
Oh, the cops?
Yeah, the cops. So that didn't do it. Armed teachers didn't do it. Cops didn't do it.
The husband.
I just wonder if there was anything else we could have done.
The husband of a teacher and the father of a student was allowed, because law enforcement recognized him, allowed to go in the school where he kicked down the door and killed the assailant. You got one hero and a bunch of frickin' losers in that story. 844-967-2789. Wisco, welcome. What do you got?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Is there anything that goes beyond stupid? Is that possible for the GOP? I mean, you can't even get the police to go in against assault weapons, and some teacher's supposed to pull out her pistol and shoot this guy. It's just stupid beyond belief. And on top of that, the governor in Texas, he cut the help for mentally challenged or mental people or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, they always talk about mental illness, and it leads to these sort of mass slayings, but they don't ever want to fund any mental health care. Republicans, again, that is.
We're back to beyond stupid, which is, there must be a lot of money. They must be making a lot of money on guns. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in guns, Paulie. Let's keep going quickly. I got a few more left. Mark from the SAC, you're up. What do you got for
Mark?
Us? Yeah, it's interesting. MTG was complaining about that. You know, if the government wanted to, or Bill Gates wanted to track. Well, the Republicans want to track women's periods, or if they're leaving the state, you know, they want to track women down.
Yes,
that.
Good point.
Let's remember Scott Walker busted Wisconsin's budget so he could pass Act 10. And Republicans are not complaining about Michael Gabelman sitting on his ass, collecting $5,500 a month for doing squat now, that because they're afraid to stand up to Donald Trump.
Well, it used to be $11,000 a month. CJ from Beaver Dam, the good CJ, we can give you like 30 seconds, buddy.
Hey, CJ.
That's right, brother. I'm going to not try to put words in your wife's mouth, but I heard you better take out a pound of cheese when you do go home tonight, because I heard you whining that you had to do some extra things. And suck it up, buttercup. Take a Snickers and walk it off. Have a good night.
Yeah, thanks for those words of wisdom. Almost as appreciated as the op-ed words of Scotty Wanker. CJ, if I want to cry, it's my party, and I'll cry if I want
thanks,
to.
Thanks, CJ. Up, great advice.
Appreciate you all listening. It's the Tuesday lineup, so we got Busted Pencils coming up soon. Native Roots Radio coming up next. And the Rick Smith Show at 8 o'clock. It's live on the Memorial Day Tuesday edition. Good to see you, Dom. Good to see you, Fancy. Good to see you, Evan. Good to see you all. See you all again tomorrow on the radio.
And when you're a star, they'll let you do it. You can do anything. to eat his fake meat that grows in a peach tree dish.
Pucker up, Buttercup.
But other than that, I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas.